RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, week in review, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you to you our daily segment, Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian Transportation Minister invites Indian entrepreneurs to invest in maritime sector. The National Counterterrorism Agency says 15,000 radical sites have been created to recruit new followers. Now the news in detail. Embassy of India in Jakarta held a business forum attended by businessmen of India and Indonesian Minister of Transportation, Ignatius Jonan. President Joko Widodo has nominated Jonan as the liaison minister for economic engagement with India. He acts as the model point for all the issues related to trade and investment with India. In an interactive session of India Business Forum that was held in Jakarta on Friday, April the 29th, Minister Jonan invited Indian businessmen to invest in the maritime field in Indonesia, especially in building seaports. This is due to the government Nawacita or Nine Priority Program launched by Indonesian President Joko Widodo that aims to connect and build Indonesia. Minister Jonan said that foreign investors can own the port shares up to 49% of ownership.
Seaport can be owned by foreigners for up to 49%. So you have to find Indonesian partners that are willing to have a joint venture with you for 51%, and you can invest for up to 49%. We do not restrict from any from the origin of the investment. So you can, you want to come, you can, Danny or whoever to come. Seaports, I think you can invest or you can sell some cranes or whatever you like, or technology or system. Airports.
Minister Jonan further explained Kalimantan, Sulawesi, and Papua have a tremendous opportunity to invest. He does not advise foreign investors to invest in the railway construction as it requires huge funds. He explained that Indonesia is a country that is very good for investment because it has a conducive political and security climate. The interactive session of India Business Forum was opened by Indian Ambassador to Indonesia, Her Excellency Nengcha Lofum Mukhopadhaya. On the same occasion, Ambassador Nengcha hoped his forum could increase economic and business relations between the two countries. The National Counterterrorism Agency has warned of the growing efforts by radical movements to spread their views through social media. The agency's Deputy Director for Terrorism Prevention, Protection and Deradicalization, Major General Abdul Rahman Kadir, said the number of radical sites amounted to around 15,000. According to Rahman, one of the radical groups whose existence has become more alarming is the Islamic sites. As a new global terrorist power, the IS is striving to recruit young people as its members. Rahman said recent terrorist incidents included those in Paris, Brussels, Lahore, and the bomb and gun attack on Jalan Tamrin Central Jakarta in January. The Tamrin attack was perpetrated by young people and it was terrorist propaganda spread by radical groups via the cyber world that had influenced those young people to commit the crimes. Rahman added that the radical movements now have a new pattern. They are getting smarter to benefit from information technology. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has inaugurated Sentani's Doyo Baru Market in Jayapura, Papua on Saturday, April the 13th. Through his official speech, President Joko Widodo has asked local residents, regional governments, and traders to keep in mind that the new market needs to be kept clean, dry, secure, and comfortable for everyone. Trade Minister Thomas Lembong, who is part of President Jokowi's entourage, said that the inauguration of the Doyo Baru Market is a special moment. The construction of Doyo Baru Market began in 2015, and it is one of the 47 markets that the government is planning to build across Papua and West Papua. Out of the 47 markets, 15 are markets at the regency level, and the entire construction of the 15 markets is expected to cost some 140 billion rupiahs. Some 207.43 billion rupiahs has been allocated to fund this project across Papua and West Papua. The minister also expressed his thanks to Papuan tribal leaders for their contribution in making the project happen. Bandung City Government announced that it would work with Majelis Amanah Rakyat or MARA, a Malaysian institution, to open 200 outlets that will sell creative products from Bandung, such as snacks and fashion products. Bandung Mayor Ridwan Kamil said that this move shows that Bandung is really ready to face the ASEAN Economic Community. Ridwan added that to show the commitment, the Malaysian government has allocated 70 billion rupiahs to build the stores. He has also urged the Malaysian government name the store to be Little Bandung. The mayor explained that Bandung does not spend many funds. 70 billion rupiahs is from the funds of the Malaysian government to open the stores that will be managed by Malaysians. Last item. Indonesian Attorney General Prasetyo said that Philippines National Mary Jane Fiesta Veloso has been excluded from the list of the third round of executions prepared by the Attorney General's office as legal procedures continue in a separate but related cases in her country. Prasetyo said that Indonesia respects the legal process that is taking place in the Philippines. He stressed that a third round of execution would take place but declined to announce the list and date of executions. He also denied that execution would be carried out next month. According to Prasetyo, Indonesia respects the rights of people facing execution and the execution would be implemented when legal procedures were completed. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian Transportation Minister invites Indian entrepreneurs to invest in maritime sector. The National Counterterrorism Agency says 15,000 radical sites have been created to recruit new followers. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasi, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
See the smile, friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. People of the land, they dance and sing. And with the beauty of nature, among the colors of heaven, this is a wonderful place. I feel loved, I feel wonderful, oh wonderful Indonesia.
Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016. Are you dreaming of enjoying the beauty of Indonesia? Make your dreams come true by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. You may be the lucky one to visit the enchanting Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. In early 2016, Indonesia won international tourism awards. Could you mention the three awards? 2. Mention 3 out of 10 Indonesian priority tourism destination in 2016. 3. What is the biggest Buddhist temple in the world that we can find in Indonesia? 4. Mention 3 Indonesia's world cultural heritage which have been recognized by UNESCO. 5. Mention 3 kinds of Indonesian cuisine. 6. How do you listen to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia? 7. What is your favorite program? 8. Please tell in brief why do you want to visit Indonesia? You can find information about the answer at www.indonesia.travel. Send your answers, photo, and copy of passport to wiquiz2016@gmail.com. wiquiz2016@gmail.com or to our address at Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, number 4 and 5, Central Jakarta, 10110, before May 7, 2016. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016 is brought to you by Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
Oh, wonderful Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news from the archipelago, which presents a variety of interesting information from across the country in a week. The first news comes from Labuhan Maringgay, East Lampung. The fishermen and coastal residents in Labuan Maringgay, East Lampung Regency of Lampung Province, held Tasyakuran Laut or Nadran ceremony to express their gratitude to God Almighty for catches that accrue to them during this time while preserving the cultural heritage. According to Haryanto, executive chairman of Tasyakuran Laut or Nadran ceremony, the celebration has been held for the 34th time in District Labuan Maringgay. This year, the peak ceremony was held in the northwest coast of the village of Muara Gading Mas, Labuan Maringgay Subdistrict last Wednesday. Secretary of the Fishermen Association of Indonesia, East Lampung Sukmana Adras, confirmed that Nadran, which is held every year, could be used as a maritime tourist attraction because it has value and will bring tourists to this area as long as it is properly managed by the local government. Tourism potentials that can be assembled with the Nadran, among others, traveling along Segamat Island to see some turtle species. The island is only half an hour drive from Muara Gading Mas village. The series of events in Nadran consists of melinting dance performances and symbolically release a vessel which has been decorated in such a way to the sea as a sign that Nadran work begins. The next news comes from Medan, North Sumatra. A team of archaeologists from the Archaeological Institute of Medan found an ancient temple structure in the backyard of a residence house in the Chinatown sites in Paya Pasir, Medan, Marelan. A historian of the State University of Medan, Ikhwan Azhari, said the temple that was found is estimated to come from the 12th century, and founder of Chinatown Museum said the excavation was included in the program to build the House of Civilization. According to him, this is the fourth discovery within the last 5 years. The Chinatown site of Medan Marilan has been known since the 1970s. However, traces of its history has begun to unfold since the discovery of an ancient statue precisely at the time of excavation using heavy equipment for the construction of Balmera Toll Road in 1986. Traces of Chinatown history, which until now has not been explored, are prosperous kingdom and international seaport inhabited by immigrants from China. The latest news comes from Garut, West Java. Chisel artists who are members of the Society of Rumaus Janten Kaula Garut Regency in West Java have managed to create 45 sculptures of various forms of agate. Chairman of the society, Nurseno Utomo, said last Wednesday the existence of agate sculpture of Garut is believed to be able to attract tourists from various regions in Indonesia, even from abroad, to come to Garut. Nurseno said the organization will continue to make sculptures with various forms of agate taken from Garut. He said his organization is constantly trying to prove that Garut agate still has appeal. He expressed his goal to pursue the art of sculpture is, in addition to tourist attraction, also as an effort to preserve cultural heritage. That was news from the Indonesian Archipelago. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with May the 1st, 1886, the establishment of the International Labor Day. Labor Day is generally celebrated on May the 1st and is known as May Day. May Day was born from the various series of working class struggles to gain control of the political economy of industrial rights. The development of industrial capitalism in the early 19th century signified a drastic change of political economy, especially in the capitalist countries of Western Europe and the United States. The intensification of tightening discipline and working hours, minimum wages, and poor working conditions at the factory level gave birth to the resistance of the working class. At First International Congress of Labor was held in September 1866 in Geneva, Switzerland, attended by various elements of workers' organizations around the world. Congress establishes a requirement to reduce working hours to 8 hours a day. The 1st of May was set as the World Working Class Struggle in Congress in 1886 by the Federation of Organized Trades and Labor Unions. In Indonesia, May Day was first celebrated in 1918. Hundreds of union members of Kung Tang Hwe Kwan held a Labor Day commemoration in Surabaya then. Turning to the event of May 1, 1956, polio vaccines developed by Jonas Salk became available to the public. Poliomyelitis, or polio, is a paralysis or paralytic illness caused by a virus. Until 1955, when Jonas Salk vaccine was introduced, polio was seen as a public health problem that is most frightening in the United States after the war. Annual outbreaks always deteriorate and the victims are children. In 1952, it was reported that polio became a disease that kills enough compared with other infectious diseases with over 300,000 cases and 58,000 deaths, mostly children. Jonas Salk was born in New York on October 28, 1914. In 1947, Jonas Salk, in cooperation with the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis, made effort to seek polio vaccine. Because when the outbreak of polio was attacking the United States and caused tens of thousands of children who were paralyzed due to this disease. After 8 years of doing research, on April 12, 1955, Jonas Salk announced that he managed to find a vaccine which is considered effective in preventing polio. A year later, on May 1, 1956, this vaccine is already available to the public.
Last item is from May 1st, 1963, West Papua became part of Indonesia. On August 17, 1945, Indonesia proclaimed its independence. Indonesia also demanded all the territory of the former Dutch East Indies as its territory. However, the Netherlands wants to make Papua a separate western part of Indonesia. Papua's status is not resolved in the western part of the Roundtable Conference in The Hague, and it was decided to postpone the discussion for 1 year. The completion status of Western New Guinea became protracted and did not finish well until 1961, when there was an armed conflict between Indonesia and the Netherlands in December 1961 and early 1962 to fight for the region. Through the New York Agreement, finally, it was agreed that Western New Guinea is surrendered to the United Nations through the United Nations Temporary Executive Authority, or UNTEA, before being given entirely to Indonesia on May 1, 1963. Well, that was Today in History. Over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with highlight of this week. And today it's entitled Government Provides Ease in Business. The government released a massive deregulation in order to provide ease in doing business that focuses on three things, namely simplification of licensing, trimming costs, and accelerating business processes. The regulation announced by President Joko Widodo last Thursday is the 12th economic policy package, which is expected to be a driving force for a better business climate. In addition to improving the business environment, it is also expected to increase the ranking of business ease in Indonesia from 109th this year to 40th in 2017. As released by the World Bank, Indonesian business rank has improved after 2015, ranked 120th of 189 countries surveyed. In this policy package, the government issued 16 new rules, and there are remaining two draft regulations to be enacted in the near future. Deregulation has become educational procedure for micro, small, and medium enterprises, which are now easier, with the total number of licensing procedure cut to 49 stages from the previous 94 stages. Time to complete the business establishment is also made faster, 132 days from 566 days previously. The total number of clearance that had to be processed has been cut into 6 from the previous 9 permits. Other conveniences including simplification of procedures to start a business from 13 to 7. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs, Darmin Nasution, added that in the current world economic situation, particularly related to the trade slowdown, investment stimuli has become the focus to drive the economy. He said the regulation should be implemented if you want to win the competition. So Indonesia should have competitiveness at all levels. With the business ease given to small and medium enterprises, domestic investment is expected to continue to encourage economic growth in accordance with the target, and that is why the government is trying to really build infrastructure and set business deregulation. Head of Small and Medium Enterprises of the Indonesian Businessmen Association, APINDO, Nina Tursina, appreciates the new policy launched by the government. According to her, pruning the number of licenses to start a business will give good impact on the growth of new micro, small, and medium enterprises businessmen. However, it still needs to be defined in more detail in drafting the rules thereof. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce, Rosan Roslani, said the regulation pursued by the government through a number of policy packages have fueled optimism for business world. It is quite positive, especially related to the government's desire to continue to improve business ease ranking from 109 this year to 40 in 2017. Well, that was highlight of this week.
Hello, listener. Welcome to the Week in Review. Today, we'll take you to the news during the week. We start from Sunday, 24 April 2016. Indonesia participated in exhibiting typical culinary of the archipelago at Nanyang Cultural Festival 2016 in Xiamen, China, on April 22nd to 26, 2016. Assistant Deputy of Asia-Pacific Market Development at the Ministry of Tourism, Vincent Jamadu in Jakarta Sunday said, at the event of Nanyang Culture Festival 2016, Indonesia invited some guest chefs through the collaboration with one of the hotels in Xiamen. Vincent Jamadu said Indonesia's participation at the event as part of the effort to promote Indonesian tourism. Still on Sunday, Batam City government has been preparing a central region for fishermen in an effort to facilitate all the needs of the fishermen, ranging from fish sales to management of the result of the fishermen catches. It was said by head of the local Marine Fisheries, Agriculture and Forestry Affairs Office, Suhartini, stated in Batam on Sunday. The city government is currently discussing the proper area as the location of the fishermen central region, including facilities which will be provided at the area, she said, adding that a fishing port will also be built at the location. On Monday, April 25, 2016, Vice-Rector of Queensland Australia University, Peter Hodge, during press conference with Chairman of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, Iskandar Zulkarnain, in LIPI Building, Jakarta, Tuesday, stated his readiness to strengthen LIPI research on small islands developments such as in Ambon and Lombok, as well as city defense in Jakarta, Surabaya, and Semarang. According to Peter, the research cooperation hopefully can increase human resources quality and people knowledge, since LIPI and Queensland University have similar vision in building science and innovation. On Monday, April 25, 2016, Vice-Rector of Queensland Australia University, Peter Hodge, during press conference with Chairman of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, LIPI, Iskandar Zulkarnain, in LIPI Building, Jakarta, stated his readiness to strengthen LIPI research on small islands development, such as in Ambon and Lombok, as well as city defense in Jakarta, Surabaya, and Semarang. According to Peter, the research cooperation hopefully can increase human resources quality and people knowledges, since LIPI and Queensland University have similar vision in building science and innovation. On Tuesday, April 26, 2016, Indonesian Government Broadcasting Institution Radio Republik Indonesia stated its readiness to host the Asia-Pacific Broadcasting Union ABU meeting scheduled to be held on October 18th until October 26, 2016. Escorted by Tempo.co, Martoyo, RRI's acting president director, during a hearing with Commission 1 of the House of Representatives on Tuesday said, RRI has established an organizing team to construct all ABU programs to present a good national broadcasting image on the international stage. Meanwhile, Muhammad Rohanuddin, chief of the ABU event organizing committee, said that the meeting should be used to introduce Indonesia to the international community. On Wednesday, April 27, 2016, Indonesian President Joko Widodo has appealed to the Serbian government to give more market access to Indonesian products. He said in a joint press statement with visiting Serbian President Tomislav Nikolic at Merdeka Palace in Jakarta Wednesday that Indonesia expects that the market access for its products in Serbia can be expanded. Trade between the two countries rose by an impressive 85% in the past 5 years, President Joko Widodo said, without elaborating on absolute numbers. President Joko Widodo also asserted that Indonesian investment in Serbia, particularly in the food industry, has shown an upward trend. On Thursday, April 28, 2016, Indonesian government is set announced the 12th economic policy package at the State Palace in Jakarta Thursday afternoon. Coordinating Economic Minister Darmin Nasution attended a meeting with President Joko Widodo on Wednesday To discuss the content of the new economic policy package previously, the Indonesian government introduced a number of economic policy packages aiming at facilitating businesses and investments in Indonesia, as well as boosting economic developments in Indonesian regions. The previous economic package includes policies on export-oriented microloans, real estate investment funds, dwelling time cut, and the development of pharmacy and health equipment industry. On Friday, April 29, 2016, the rupiah, which was traded by Interbank in Jakarta on Friday morning, moving down into 13,224 rupiah per US dollar. Head of Futures Research Monex Investindo Ariston Chandra on Friday said, the US dollar has strengthened against most currencies in the Asian region, including the rupiah, after data claimed for unemployment benefits in the United States weakened. He added, the American Labor Department reported the number of people filing for unemployment benefits ended on April 23rd fell 9,000 to 257,000 from the previous week, were revised to 248,000. That was the Weekend Review.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now for us to bring you news in brief. The Embassy of India in Jakarta held a business forum attended by businessmen of India and Indonesian Minister of Transportation Ignatius Jonan. The minister invites Indian entrepreneurs to invest in maritime sector. The National Counterterrorism Agency has warned of the growing efforts by radical movements to spread their views through social media. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has inaugurated Sentani's Doyo Baru Market in Jayapura, Papua on Saturday. Through his official speech, the president asked local presidents, regional governments and traders to keep in mind that the new market needs to be kept clean, dry, secure and comfortable for everyone. Bandung City Government announced that it would work with Majelis Amanah Rakyat or MARA, a Malaysian institution, to open 200 stores that will sell creative products from Bandung, such as snack and fashion products. Indonesian Attorney General Prasetyo said that Philippines National Mary Jane Fieste Veloso has been excluded again from the list of the third round of execution prepared by the Attorney General's office as legal procedures continue in a separate but related case in her country. That was the end of News in Brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Open your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smile, friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. People of the land, they dance and sing. Magnificent beauty of measure, among the colors of heaven. This is a wonderful place. Oh, wonderful Indonesia.
Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016. Are you dreaming of enjoying the beauty of Indonesia? Make your dreams come true by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz.
you may be the lucky one to visit the enchanting Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. In early 2016, Indonesia won International Tourism Awards. Could you mention the three awards? 2. Mention 3 out of 10 Indonesian priority tourism destination in 2016. 3. What is the biggest Buddhist temple in the world that we can find in Indonesia? 4. Mention 3 Indonesia's world cultural heritage which have been recognized by UNESCO. 5. Mention 3 kinds of Indonesian cuisine. 6. How do you listen to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia? 7. What is your favorite program? 8. Please tell in brief why do you want to visit Indonesia? You can find information about the answer at www.indonesia.travel. Send your answers, photo, and copy of passport to wiquiz2016@gmail.com. wiquiz2016@gmail.com. Or to our address at Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, number 4 and 5, Central Jakarta, 10110, before May 7, 2016. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016 is brought to you by Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
Oh, wonderful Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11785 kHz and 15150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.go.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Indonesian Wonder, a segment introducing Indonesia's tourism potentials, including tourist destinations, art and culture, also culinary. Today, I'll take you for a visit to Lasem in Central Jawa to enjoy its typical lelet coffee. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program via live streaming at www.voi.co.id. Lasem is a district in Rembang, Central Jawa. Lasem is also known as Little China because it is the place where the first Chinese immigrants landed centuries ago and the beginning of the Chinese city in Jawa. In addition, Lasem is also known as a city of Islamic boarding school student or santri, producer of fish, salt, guava, and mango. Lasem is also very famous for its batik because Lasem batik as coastal batik has a characteristic coloring which is beautiful and daring. Rembang district in Central Jawa also has a typical coffee which is quite unique. For coffee lovers, it feels incomplete if they haven't enjoyed the taste of this local coffee. Rembang typical coffee has a strong taste. At first glance, there is no difference between this Rembang coffee from other coffee. The only difference lies in the thickness. Although Lasem is not a coffee producer, but it has a lot of coffee shops, which eventually became the hallmark of the Lasem called Coffee Lelet or Lelet Coffee. In one of these coffee shops, visitors can taste the special coffee of Lasem and also try to ngelelet or to make the lelet. Ngelelet and batik has a close relationship. They both express motifs to a media using a typical ink. In batik, they use fabric called batik cloth with equipment called canting and wax, while in ngelelet, they use cigarettes, coffee grounds, and sweetened condensed milk. The way of presenting lelet coffee is also different from presenting coffee drinks in general. To make lelet coffee, first the coffee and sugar is put into the pot, then poured hot water into it. This must still be cooked again until it is completely boiling before the coffee is ready to be served. The grain become finer coffee than the coffee in general. This is because the coffee is homemade and has undergone several grindings and screenings, so the beans become fine powder. Most lelet coffee enthusiasts are smokers because after they enjoyed the coffee until the dregs is left, which is in, then they pour it into a saucer or small plate, then put a tissue on it to reduce the remaining water or to sap the water. After the coffee grounds have no water content, it is added with some condensed milk. Then using toothpicks made of bamboo, the coffee ground is smeared onto a cigarette that will be smoked. This process is called ngelelet. People often make interesting patterns when applying these coffee grounds onto the cigarettes, just like the creations of batik paintings of carving motifs. Cigarettes which have already been lelet will have a different flavor from regular cigarette. Some people refer to this as batik or making batik. This is of course has something to do with Lasem as the center of batik that became the inspiration of ngelelet. When exactly the ngelelet tradition started is not yet known, but based on sociocultural observation, it possibly happened since the first time people familiar with Lasem batik, and even now people are still making batik. There is a saying that Lasem people have a habit of coming to the coffee shops to unwind, gather with friends, and chatting. Coffee in Lasem does not depend on time. It can be enjoyed in the morning, afternoon, or evening. From this habit, the ngelelet culture was born, which later became Lasem's identity. With only approximately 2,500 rupiah pay for a cup of coffee, that is less than a quarter of a dollar, you can enjoy a glass of typical lelet coffee and also can create ngelelet cigarettes with various motifs in accordance with your wishes. Well, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder with the topic Lelet Lasem Coffee. If you are in Central Jawa, precisely in Lasem, don't forget to try Lelet Coffee because drinking it will give an incredible experience. Until tomorrow, with other interesting topic, I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany. Today, we'll bring you information about the Indonesian National Education Day, known locally as Hardiknas. Hardiknas is an event held annually every May 2nd to commemorate the birthday of Indonesian National Education Father, Ki Hajar Dewantoro for his services in the struggle for equality in terms of education in Indonesia during the colonial era of the Dutch East Indies. In Indonesia at the moment, only Dutch-born and rich people had the right to get a proper education. Similar things happened in Papua. The difference is that what happens in Papua was caused by the government ban. The school location, which is located at a few kilometers away from students' residence, is only one of many different factors behind the education inequality in Papua. Without a proper transportation system, many students must reach their schools on foot. In addition, there are other hindering factors such as the limited number of qualified teachers and school management. In commemorating the 2016 Indonesia's National Education Day, we'll introduce you to Pakimahani Hano, the local wisdom used in increasing the quality and quantity of education in Papua. Indonesia is lucky to have Papua. Its beauty and natural richness are undeniable. Unfortunately, it does not inland being enjoyed by young Papuan generations. Data of participating numbers of school-aged children in Papua recorded low. Based on survey, in 61 elementary schools in Lani Jaya region, the ability to read, write, and count for 3rd and 4th grade students recorded fewer than 50%. Based on the facts, innovation is badly needed to help the students absorb the entire course material. Therefore, Wahana Visi Indonesia or WVI, along with local partners, implements local wisdom-based education named Pakimahain Hano or Teaming Up Light is Good and Beautiful. Listener, culture and education are inseparable. Education is needed to determine the future of the children. Educated children will have an ability to absorb and apply the cultural values, including hospitality, manner, concern, respect, and hard work to create a harmony. So, the character-based education of the local wisdom is needed to be introduced to the children since young age. The children who live in Central Papua Highlands need to understand the beauty of peace to end the tribal wars that may occur in the future. Participation of all community elements is also needed to make sure the children fully understand all the cultural values. At the same time, they might fulfill and protect their rights. That is Pakimahani Hano is all about. Listener, Pakimahani Hano is significant in harmony. This character-based education has been applied in Papua since 2012 by the Jaya Wijaya Department of Education in partnering with WVI and other stakeholders of Central Highlands, Papua. It is an excellent education program to encourage teachers' creativity by using local material found around them to support the implementation of the national education system and curriculum. Listener, it is undeniable that the children will learn best in a fun and comfortable atmosphere surrounded with familiar situation and learning materials. With proper and intensive supports, the community of Central Highland, Papua will be able to overcome every challenge they need to face in implementing the true meaning and values of Pakimahani Hano in increasing the quality of their education system. Well, listener, that was Miscellany for today. Thank you for listening.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, listener, we would like to thank our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now, let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Salisu Dawanau in Nigeria. He sent his email through Voice of Indonesia's Facebook fan page. In his email, Mr. Salisu Dawanau suggests to make one of our segments, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, into a book. Hello, Mr. Salisu Dawanau. Thank you for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast, and we will deliver your suggestion to make Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia segment a book. And we also thank you for your compliment. Someday, if you visit Indonesia, please don't forget to stop at our office, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Well, Mr. Salisu Dawanau, we are waiting for your coming and your next email. Thank you very much. And as our appreciation special for you, we will play a beautiful song. This song is also for our regular listeners, wherever you are. Enjoy the song.
Jadi gembala cintamu, Jadi gembala cinta.
Listener, now we will reply a letter from Glenn Duran in Honduras. In his email, Mr. Glenn Duran sent the answers of Indonesian Wonderful Indonesia quiz completely. Hello, Mr. Glenn Duran. Thank you for participating in our Wonderful Indonesia quiz. We wish you to be one of the lucky winners, so keep listening to our broadcast and please send your favorite segment of our broadcast. Mr. Glenn Duran, we are waiting for your next email and certainly with your reception report. Thank you very much. Well, listener, wherever you are, we'll play a beautiful song just for you. Enjoy the song.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.